Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuck boy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. All right, Arthur's on that Nyla bone. The room smells a certain way, and that excites both myself and Arthur. And that's because in the studio, returning guest and a new guest from Great Moments in Weed History, we got David Bienstock and Abdullah Saeed.
What up?
Yeah.
How does this man have this much energy?
Oh, it's gone now.
He smokes weed all day. That was it.
That's all. You know, I've learned, and I feel like I've said this on so many pods now, but I've learned that doing that up top makes the my guest always be like, well, then I'll never sound like an idiot on this pod. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I set the bar
tactic
so high to be like, you'd have to be like an absolute idiot to come across as dumb on this.
I like that.
I set the audience's bar low and our bar high, I guess you could say.
It's a great equalizer. You know what I'm saying?
Look at us now. Here we are chopping it up. Great Moments in Weed History is the name of your guys' podcast.
That's right, yes.
And it's not just like my podcast where you get high and bullshit.
No, it's you guys, yes.
There's a part of it
that's complicated.
There's a place where the Venn diagrams cross.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But then there's painstaking research that I spend hours on for every show to
yes.
To tell
I spend
stories.
Painstaking hours preparing also for the show. I have to get papers, crutches. Pick out which weed.
Yeah, so we take a story like Willie Nelson smoked a joint on the roof of the White House. Clear great moment in weed history.
Great moment and lose weed from that sentence. Yeah. That's just a great moment in history.
Seriously.
I think that we could lose weed from all of them from our perspective.
Right.
By the way, did you know that Gary Busey and Willie Nelson co-starred in a movie? I saw this recently. I forget what it's called right now, but they co-starred in a movie together. Anyhow, back to our plug for our podcast.
Wait, no, let's hone in on this movie you don't know anything about.
You got it.
Willie Nelson plays James Caan's dad in Michael Mann's Thief.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no shit,
yeah.
He had like a fucking acting career. That guy has many great moments. You know, not the least of which.
Wow, that's why this dude's a host right here.
Booyah!
Yeah, that's how it's done.
Willie Nelson smoked a joint on the roof of the White House. That's like a legend, right? But I guess it's a true story.
It's verified fact. Any guesses who he blazed that J with or when this might have happened?
Oh, shit. That's a great question. Because it could have been like in like hippie era, but it also could easily have been like in 2005 or something
right.
like that.
So it was, I mean, as a hint, it was... You could say, let's say a year.
He blew Nixon a shoddy on the roof of the White House. The least likely guy to be doing it up there is my guess is Nixon. Arthur, leave everybody alone.
So let's say it was pre 1980.
Okay.
It's a pretty hard guess, though, but give it a go.
Is it Jimmy Carter?
Very warm.
Very warm.
Oh, I'm not going to know.
I don't want to ruin it too much. It's his son, Chip.
Yeah. Chip Carter.
The coolest Carter.
Oh, shit.
As they call him. And Jimmy Carter's pretty fucking cool. Chip Carter's still the coolest Carter.
That's awesome.
And there's a real blind eye thing happening with Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And you know what I love to think about is like what it was like to be like a stoner kid, like a young dude who lives in the White House. Or like, what I mean?
I mean, that's like a fuck, like the blank check of stoner movies, right?
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you're a kid who's like 17 and it's blazing all day long.
Yeah.
Then you get put in the White House and you're like able to hear about like legislation that's going through.
It's like Arthur. Or it's like Uncle Buck. No, not Uncle Buck. What's the other John Candy movie? King Ralph.
Yeah. That's John Goodman. But yeah.
John Goodman.
But it is like King Ralph. Yes, I know all fat white people look the same. Hassan.
I know. By the way, John, I'm so, John Goodman, right?
Yeah, that's me.
I'm so honored to be
on your podcast. I'm loving the gemstones.
It's John Belushi, John Goodman, John Candy, John Gabrus. I can't believe
I'm hanging out with Walter Sobchak right now. This is amazing.
Oh, that's so fucking cool. I thought that was like one of those like legends, like the tunnel that Marilyn would get snuck in and out of, which I'm starting to believe is also real.
No, Willie Nelson wrote about it in like three of his 11 autobiographies. But Chip Carter, but he never said who he was with because he didn't want to embarrass Jimmy Carter.
Right.
And then somebody really dug into it and they got to Chip Carter. So Willie finally said. Chip Carter basically was like, well, if Willie said, yeah, it was me.
Right. And so, you know what I think happened is that it became like kind of okay to smoke weed. And then, like, everyone involved was like, yeah, that shit happened.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all of a sudden it made that like five states recreational. It's like, we can come clean about having done this 20 years ago now.
He was like,
that's so fucking cool, though.
Yeah, pretty amazing, man. There's a bunch of really good moments. I feel like in the first season, we kind of stayed within one century. You know what I mean? We kind of stayed within the 20th century for the most part. It's obviously outliers.
Jesus.
There was Jesus. And that's really the only ancient story we've done so far. And there is a lot of ancient cannabis history, but it's so fun to go through this specific brand of it. That's like people who you know, Fela Kuti, Willie Nelson, the Beatles, and what their very significant weed story is, because like honestly, in all their like, you know, biographies and all the actual histories, this shit is not included, generally speaking.
Right, right.
And their weed moments are pivotal moments for them.
Yes, of course. Especially like somehow cannabis has become like an insane like political movement and like a sign of like freedom and shit. There's like, I mean, it had that for a long time, but now like legalizing it has become like this cause in a way where it's like, hemp is literally woven into our history here.
Oh, but
like cannabis, you could just like track that shit for, this is a complete aside, but I was just listening to the new Bruce Lee memoir called A Life, and Bruce Lee was very into weed.
Really?
Yeah. He got really into
seeing the look on Bean's face is telling me that. So I don't know what the episodes are about ahead of time.
Oh,
and I'm getting the sense, you know, we've known each other a long time. And I can sort of tell his, his looks. I feel like he's definitely got a Bruce Lee story in the pipeline. But let's just.
I just want to say, finding out a guy who I already idolized for a number of reasons also like smoked a blunt while he taught Jeet Kune Do really makes me like him that much more.
Pretty dope.
And who better to get you hooked on weed than Steve McQueen?
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right.
Well, let's take it off potential episode idea. Yeah, I just burned your entire second season.
Why don't you just pull up the Wikipedia page? Let's just read through it right now.
Oh, that's cool. I got Beanie's Google Drive login. We could just read his research out loud on my show.
So you're just going for my job right while I'm here.
Oh no, if you would have to work with me for 1 minute. If it was me and him, notebook. It's two of him. We need a duo needs right. you. Yeah.
Papers is definitely more.
I can
of
only
a
go
me.
For your job, yeah. really, and you have it pretty much cornered. I can't take over being in charge of things. No fucking way.
We should totally co-do my job on the podcast at some point. We got to have you on and talk about some weed history shit.
I love talking about that shit. Yeah, maybe if there's like a Bruce Lee episode. I held the microphone to my eye when I winked. That's how I know this is working. Yeah, everyone wants that.
Yeah, no. So basically, this new season, we kind of cover... it's hard to like nail down what a theme is, but I feel like we have a lot of weed culture, weed stories this season, if that makes sense. Like, you know, last season it was like the weedy underbelly of rock and roll history or something, right, you know. Right. And this season, you know, and it was like about these icons everybody knows about. I feel like this season we definitely have stories about big icons, but we have like the Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke story, which is actually comes out today. I mean, I'm sure this is not live
this will come
right
out
now,
in
but.
Like, a week or two. So
cool.
It's non-perishable. Yeah. Right, yeah. You don't need to refrigerate
it's
these.
Evergreen, man. It's evergreen.
Wow. Good pun. Good weed pun.
I worked on
you
that.
You are going after my fucking job. Don't sidestep. Let's go.
Well, let's just jump.
I'm all bean.
Oh, you are personality-wise all yourself. Interesting.
All bean all the time.
We were talking off mic where we thought we were, some of us thought we were recording, and we were talking about going to the movies. That is something, when I talk to real stoners, I want to ask, that's the questions I ask them. I'm like, what's your pre-movie ritual? Because the one thing I found is like getting older with like in relation to pot, I have like, I get more set in my ways where I'm like, if I'm drinking red wine, I really like Malbec. So if I'm going to buy myself something, I don't care if Malbec is the one that's $4 more.
Right.
So now I've like gotten like that way with weed where I'm like, I want a palm leaf blunt rolled with top shelf sativa pretty much exclusively. So I'm always doing that. And I'm like, I can, it's like, it's not that like indulgent of a thing financially, but that I can. So now when I go to the movies and I'm like one joint for the car, one, and I'm like always want to talk to real stoners about that. And we were talking about seeing 2001 at the Arclight.
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing because I know that all of us back in the day would totally like just hotbox the car and go in. That right. was, you know, that was it.
That was a given.
Yeah. Hotbox the car and go in. You know, that was always the way to do it. So I recently saw 2001, A Space Odyssey, at the Arclight in the Dome, and it was with the overture and the intermission. It was like the whole nine, right? Yeah. It was, and my regimen for it was smoked a fat joint ahead of time. Couldn't hotbox the car. It was my girlfriend's car. She does not like hotboxing in there.
But the one thing I like about Los Angeles is that I've never had my balls busted for smoking weed in the Arclight or the Grove parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done
totally.
It once a week for 6 years.
Oh, yeah. I do it right in the courtyard every time.
They know where their bread is buttered.
Yeah. That's why they have that. Yeah, absolutely. And then I ate two El Camino edibles. So that was like 20 milligrams. And then I ate two Terramints, which I think is another five. Yeah. So if my math is correct, 25 milligrams. And I walked in. It was one of the best movie watching experiences of my entire life. And I think it was the first time that I fully properly watched that movie without being like stoned with the homies or whatever. You know what
or
I'm saying?
To pause it and do something for a little bit.
Yeah,
at the house,
exactly.
Or,
because
like,
it's long.
Looking at your phone for 5 minutes during it or whatever. Yeah.
But it felt
having
like
having an existential crisis.
Yeah.
Because your name is Dave, and when the computer starts talking to Dave, it's a little
I'm
extra
sorry,
fucking
Dave.
Freaky. No, don't
I
do
can't
it.
Can't do that,
Stop.
Dave.
Oh my God!
Stop doing
I never
that.
Even thought
doors,
of that. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I'm frightened, Dave.
I'm frightened. Yeah. Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh, dude, it's so weird. And but you know what? I gotta say that it was like doing DMT or something. You know what I mean? It was having like a profound feeling of your smallness and the grandness of everything. And like,
oh,
it was
yeah.
really, really awesome.
There's also something special about seeing a movie you've seen before, like
in reference to like getting stoned, like you can like watch it in a different way because you've already processed it once.
Yeah.
Or multiple times. Mm-hmm. Like I saw 2001 high as fuck at the Hollywood Bowl with the symphony orchestra, with the Los Angeles Symphony playing along. And solid. I was just like, I'm getting chills talking about it now.
Yeah,
I was just like, when it's like, dum, dum, and they're really playing the drums, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. Remember, you're from the East Coast, right?
I am from Long Island.
Yeah, that's right. Do you remember the idea of Laser Floyd? Do you remember Laser Floyd?
Yes.
Oh, that was...
At like the planetarium or
Yeah, that's right.
That was the ultimate hotbox. You had to hotbox the entirety of Central Park before you walked in to watch Laser Floyd.
Amazing. So I've never been to Laser Floyd.
Me
I
neither.
Would really like to go to Laser Floyd.
Oh, this is a quintessential stoner culture New York. Like New York City has very little sort of like stoner culture.
Right.
Yeah. Compared to, you know, we all live in Cali now.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go to the Museum of Natural History, had the planetarium, and it's right next to Central Park. And you could go. What we used to do is you'd go, you'd buy the ticket so that you knew you had the ticket, and also so you didn't have to talk to anybody when you came back in.
Streamlined. Oh, by the way, it's going back just to jump back to movies for a second.
Yeah.
Having that shit on your phone and an assigned seat is like the way. Oh. I just like put my head down and hold it up.
It's true. That is like I remember you know, the first time that they invented the G Pen, right? The first ever vape pen. They showed me this thing, and they were like, I was like, what is it? They were like, well, it's this thing. It's smokeless, but it allows you to consume this high-concentrated cannabis resin. And I was like, so this is for the movies. So you invented something to get high in the movie. Like, this is literally exactly what that was. And ever since that, now I don't really do that because I feel like it's conspicuous.
It's tacky.
Yeah,
it's
a little
tacky for other people. Like,
yeah, it's rude. Yeah. If it's empty, then okay, fine.
Oh, yeah,
whatever,
if it's empty, I'll do it and like blow it in my shirt. Or
if it's empty, I'd be sitting there like, you know, like in my underwear, like, my feet up, like, you know, like eating
like
out of a pineapple.
Smoking, yeah. Like it's a like you're 17, it's a jewel. Oh, wait, so jump back to Laser Floyd. This is why I can host,
yeah,
too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, very good.
I'm like, what were
very
we talking about?
Seriously, dude? It's not like we're rich off this fucking podcast, and I don't have a lot in my
tape.
Life.
This is the audition tape.
Shout
right here.
I'm coming for your... Thanks for coming over, guys. I'm coming for your podcast. The one thing I think my career needs is one more weed podcast.
Yeah, honestly, to be fair, Beans being very comedic, which makes me feel like
he's
upon losing his job, he's now coming for mine. And now
it's
going to
be you hosting it. I'm the tech guy. You're the comedy guy, and I'm the technical guy.
I'm just going to be getting
coffee.
All right,
awesome.
Let's talk after this.
Yeah, of course.
Wait a minute. It's like Succession in here.
Like, I fucking am loving that show right now.
So I'm still in season one. Me and my girlfriend are watching it together, so it's like going slower because, you know, you have to be same place, same time, like not, you know, doing anything else.
Oh, any show me and my wife watch together means we never watch two in one night because she can't. Do it. Like, she's like falls asleep after one always.
Dude, you are speaking to like, because I watch
this
fast.
I've been with the same woman for 15 years. This has been like the last 10 years of my life. Is that it's like, do you not want to watch this series? She's like, no, it's okay. I'm like, yes. And I finish it in like a week.
I know.
And a half.
It's so funny.
She has a day job. Like, she's not lazy. She just has a life.
It's the same thing happens with my girlfriend, and we have like the same discussion every time. Where, and you know, frankly, I feel like if you're going to fight about anything and this is it, where you're like, you keep falling asleep, I can't watch. You know what? That's probably the best fight you can have.
Yeah, I mean, that you're married, your relationship's going pretty well if your major complaint is she always falls asleep when we're watching the second episode,
you know what?
Or something.
I'm crazy about her, but my main complaint is that she falls asleep as we're watching.
Right, that's good. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. So you get your ticket at the Natural History Museum.
This guy's good. Wow. This guy's good.
And then you go to
you go across.
So you go
the
back
street.
To Central Park. You go to Central Park.
You go across the street to Central Park, and you kind of time it out. You got the walk amount down, a little wiggle room, so you find seats, and it's like takes me back to a time when like. I didn't have all the weed I wanted.
Right.
You know, whether for supply reasons or financial reasons or
totally.
A combination of the
and
both.
Those two,
accessibility,
you know,
everything.
Living in New York early 2000s is like crazy.
Yeah.
This was a thing where like you set the date, you get the crew, And then it's like, if it meant not smoking for 2 or 3 days.
Just to make sure you had a stash. Yeah, exactly.
And then you'd go in and it was just fucking lasers and Pink Floyd.
Are we talking like there's 100 people in Central Park smoking weed right before?
There's lots of little clusters.
Yeah.
100. I don't know about 100, but 50.
Yeah. So was this
so for New York? That's crazy.
Yeah, but because that became not a thing. So here's an interesting thing actually about New York, right? And you used to live in New York as well, Gabriel,
yeah,
right?
I lived
before
in
you came here 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So you guys remember when you could smoke cigarettes in bars? It was much easier to smoke weed in a concert or in a bar or whatever.
Right.
And then once the cigarette ban went, and then it was almost like this resurgence of like the NYPD's like individual war on drugs, you know what I'm saying?
Right, because like, you would have to stand out with the other cigarette smokers to smoke that.
But you couldn't even do that. And if you tried to smoke in the venue, there was guys in the rafters with like flashlights who would like single you out and come drag you out of the venue.
I always fucking like blazed at home in New York. I was never like the street smoker. Now when I go back, it's been decriminalized and I have California confidence. I'll smoke
now
a joint outside
chill.
Of a bar.
Now it's chill.
Yeah, but I still don't do glass on the street. I always do joints so that I can feel comfortable just going like, sorry, yep. If a cop or a woman with a stroller is like, hey, I'm like, oh yeah, fair enough. Put it out and not feel like I have to smash my bowl or bubbler.
Yeah, let's keep that line at fair enough. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think she's 100% right. I'm not 100% wrong, but like,
you get Ty goes to the baby.
It's not the hill I'm gonna die on. Fuck you. I want to smoke near your stroller.
Yeah. But seriously, but frankly, that's why I like it so much better out here. It's the fundamental reason is that I really felt like a criminal in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like where somebody is like the bouncer or something at a bar would come up and be like, hey, what do you think you're fucking doing? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm living my life, you know, man? Like, come on.
You're not saying that to the girl who's having her 12th Jaeger shot. Like,
oh,
that's
I know,
wildly
right?
Way more dangerous for her than it is for me to take a rip outside.
And now I hear it's much cooler, but you know what? New York had its chance to impress me with its weed chillness.
I'm not ever going back.
I'm going back for a wedding to upstate New York, and I'm going to completely avoid the city because I don't like to go there.
And
really,
the energy is fucking like you got to be ready for it.
Yeah,
it's so the vibe when I moved to LA, we had medicinal, and I got my fucking card immediately. Only one place took your card and a New York State driver's license, and I had to bring in like my lease and all this shit, and it was like kind of sketchy on Sunset, and I finally got legal weed, and then like in like the year that I lived here, it just got so much smoother and easier.
Yeah,
and I was just like at the Hollywood Bowl, seeing like LCD sound system. And then I'm like, to my wife, I'm like, I'm going to go smoke a joint because I feel weird here because there's like families around. I don't want to be the one guy blazing with like families. So I'm going to go smoke a joint, find a place. I walk out. I see that there's like a penned off smoking section.
And people are blazing.
And I just go, oh, I'll go blend in with the guy smoking cigarettes. That'll be perfect. I go in there and maybe there's 5 people smoking cigarettes, but there's 40 people smoking weed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I fucking love California. We're literally going like, oh, the smoking section. Fine. We all go. And you just like hot box.
And you can just smoke weed
there.
Oh my God. Remember the running and the hiding?
Oh,
you know
fuck,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ran from the police at one point. There was a summer where I ran from the police, I think 3 nights a week, probably. And it was like this game of cat and mouse. And then we would see them just like, at the 7-Eleven or whatever. And they would be like, ha, ha, ha. Like,
we're going to
get you.
You
fuckers tonight. You know what I mean?
That's a perversely symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. It entertains two very bored sets of people. Suburban cops and suburban teenagers.
Right.
But in the end, they had the ability to drag us away in handcuffs.
And when everybody in your teenage crew, you had like the continuum from the person who was like, let's just smoke out in front of the 7-Eleven to the person that was like, I know a spot 10 miles into the woods.
Yeah.
Dude, not in this 7-Eleven. My mom came here once, you know?
You're like, Josh, are we there yet, bro? We've been walking for a long time.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's right up here on the right. I fucking buried a magazine here. It's gonna be sick.
Right? And then you get there. I've seen these, like a little shrine that a kid set up in the woods where he's like, check it out, I stashed my papers under this rock. And yeah, then it's like a guy, like a little spot, and he's like, look, I sit on this log like this, put my legs up on that log.
So Chip Carter's spot was the roof of the White House.
That was like where
there's his little spot.
Full That's circle. So fucking cool. Like Secret Service is just like, all right, go up there, kid. Like
they secretly served him.
Yeah.
That's
so baller.
That's
good.
That's what it was like to be
that
teenager.
That's what Melina was doing.
Oh, So we were talking about hotbox in the car. Do you know what a roof hit is?
No.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, this is a smoking technique that was coined by the one and only Barack Obama.
A roof hit.
who was a huge pothead back in the day.
Yeah,
I'm sure he is again. I bet you he's blazing again right
I'm
now.
Sure. Where do they live? D.C.? Maryland?
I bet you he's got a guy who hooks it up with vape cartridges.
Yeah,
Probably he's got top shelf vape cartridges coming in.
Yeah, and I'm sure they have legal weed. No one's pee testing him.
Yeah.
I wonder, then this is the big question. So the first episode of the second season is about Barack Obama and the Choom Gang. And a big question that constantly is discussed when you talk about Barack Obama being pothead is like, did he smoke the whole time? So I think the way we talked about it in the episode, Bean was more a fan of the theory that he's been smoking the entire time, never stopped.
Like through his presidency.
Do
you think I would believe that he would blaze at the level that he would, like, a president would get drunk. Like once a month, it's like tonight's
once
the night. My meetings aren't until 10 a.m. tomorrow. I'm going to get high with Michelle tonight. We're going to eat pizza in the Lincoln bedroom.
But in those 8 years, did he have that time? You know?
I think he did.
I have a setting that's called a puff or two.
Yeah.
And it's not a common setting, but it's like if I'm already fucking anxious or I have to do something that has irrevocable consequences.
Yeah.
I feel like at your presidency, I want you on a puff or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't be ripping tubes and be the president. Yeah, like, right. Just like you can't be shit-faced. Like,
Exactly. Yeah, you can have a glass of wine at the fucking correspondence dinner, but you can't get fucking...
Remember,
by the way, a puff or two is such a perfect... And the fact that the parenthetical after was, I'm rarely at that, is like the realest shit. My thing is to try to be like sober for as long into the day as possible, and then it doesn't matter, then it's off. The governor's off, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna smoke half a joint every hour until I go to bed.
Yeah, honestly, it feels more like a reward when you have it at the end of the day, like, you know,
that's what I do it for. Like post gym, post any work getting done, I'm like, now I'm allowed to blaze, and it's always like at 3 or 4 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, like for example, there was a time, like, so Bean was at High Times for a long time. I'm sure High Times there's an acceptable level of smoking weed. At Vice, right? At first, there was not really. I was like the first guy at that company to be like a big weedy guy. So, like, you know, at first I had to test those waters, and there was a time at which I did not. Or could not, perhaps, you know, smoke weed or get high before I went to work, right? And then that shifted, and I was like, almost, people were like, well, that guy's probably high all the time. And I was like, well, if they're going to think that, I'm just going to fucking do it then.
Right.
Because, like,
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, you know, I'd prefer to be high, I guess.
Right, if it's, I have to go to a desk job, yeah, fuck yeah, I'd rather be high, yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing about working at High Times that it taught me, you... Especially because this was in New York and this was when things were way less chill.
Yeah.
You always had to have a joint.
Because
really? It wasn't about me, but like High Times means a lot to people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if they met the person from High Times
and they didn't
and
have a joint
and they cared about it and they wanted to smoke with somebody from High Times and you didn't have a joint, it was so disappointing. And if you did have a joint, it was so amazing. And I met so many people, like, I don't want to get into it, but like High Times is owned by like
That's
shitty
fine.
Hedge fundy people now. Just hear that. Right. But back in the day, it was a weird, crazy, counterculture-y, dysfunctional family vibe. And like the people who that magazine, aside from everything else, taught a shitload of people how to grow weed. And if you learn that and you fish for a lifetime, your feelings about it are deep and profound.
True.
And
right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That was such an honor to just sort
it's a
of
game changer if you're living
it.
In fucking like Wisconsin and you're able to grow a plant in your basement. Like, that's a fucking game changer. Someone who teaches you that, you never have to deal with a drug dealer. You never have to like adjust that level. Or you are start making money. And
or you put your kids through college. Right. Or, you know, people who got... You know, people come out of prison and they need a way to make money. You know, a lot of stories.
Or you're providing medicine that's illegal. You know what I mean? Right, in some place or semi-legal, whatever.
So we actually have an episode in this season coming up. It might not be out yet. About the founder of High Times.
Dude, epic story.
Who was a literal left-wing revolutionary who was... part of the alternative press movement and the underground press movement in this country that was suppressed by the FBI. He was a weed smuggler who flew himself plane loads in from Colombia.
Mm-hmm. And in the second part of this episode, we have a guest. Now, that's not a thing that we used to do on the show in the first season. It was just, you know, soup to nuts, me and Bean getting stoned talking about like one thing. But now we have like guests and shit, and we cut an archival. We're working with this company called Spoke, and they've been really awesome. They've made the show fucking better. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
And then in the second part of this founder of High Times story, we have this guest who's like an eyewitness to all this shit. And it's amazing to see that, you know, like, there's still, like, people around who know, like, who've seen firsthand incredible histories that are not in the history books. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Like, being 60 years old... or 70 years old really puts you in an interesting stretch of American history. That, like, you're around for weird things, you know what I mean? Like drafts and whatnot.
Yeah,
like,
a lot changed.
And just like a lot of shit has changed. That's like a big, that's like 40 years in dog years in society because we've like now we have fucking computers in our pockets and Nazis. Yeah.
Cyber Nazis.
The Nazis go back a stretch.
The
Nazis are way more
they
fucked
come,
up even.
That's and flows.
And then there's some other podcast where there's like, there's people who knew Hitler who are still alive.
Yeah.
You know? And it's amazing. I always say 420 is a great day to be a stone Nazi.
Birthday.
Not a great moment in weed history. 420. Yeah. We do the history of 420.
Yeah, how the number became a thing.
Oh, wait, but I don't know. Was it people
so
say it's like
what's
the
your guess? What's your
people
guess?
People say it's the police code for that.
Yeah, so that's a misnomer. Hey, do you have any other guesses, other stories you've heard?
It was like the time that the farmers would get a break. Was like a
That's
another one I've heard.
Also like not true, but that's a fun one.
Like cannabis farmers at 420 sat down and they all smoked at work is like what we heard.
That's not the maybe that's the, a little bit closer than the police code.
It got like I think that started happening because
of the
phenomenon.
Yeah.
But what was the do we have to let's do this. Tune in.
Oh yeah, well, I think we can give you a taste. Like the entire story is pretty good,
Google.
But
right.
Yeah, it's out there. It's
I can't
out there.
Stop people from researching history on their own.
Right.
Sadly, because if I corner that market,
we're against net neutrality because we don't want people to be able to look up
We want to be the arbiters of the weed information.
Yeah, but essentially,
where's 420 come from?
So the important thing to know is that. It came from one weed crew. Like, you know how there's weed crews with their own lingo? Because cannabis culture has been pushed in the shadows, it's not just regional, but it's like, you know, it's down to the weed crew that you're
like
12
with.12 different crews in the same neighborhood.
It's always five or six because that's what fits in a car.
Yeah, I
mean, it's the microclimates. Yeah. Obama's Choom Gang crew, same thing.
5-6 people.
Yeah, no, that means total to smoke weed. It's like Hawaiian slang.
Like
that's how weedy his high school crew was.
Oh,
smoking that Pacololo.
Yeah. That was the name for the weed.
Oh, that's so fucking cool.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah, I mean, like...
Yeah, because I use slang sometimes out here that is like my... I have like a weird gap in weed history because I didn't blaze from like 17 to 24 because I thought I was doing something else with my life. I thought I was going to be an FBI agent, so I quit weed in high school.
Wait a minute,
And I became one. why are we, Hunter?
We fell for it.
100 episodes committed to this bit slash undercover op.
The FBI was like, these guys are fucking dangerous. They're telling people about the Willie Nelson thing. We can't have them out there with that. We have to send in Gabrus.
They compromised Chip Carter, one of our best agents.
I was just a young kid at Quantico, and they were like, hey, how's your weed smoking skills? Are you good on the mic? Yeah. Do you think you would do 15 years of medium level success in comedy to try to get undercover to bust these guys? I'm like, you got it. They're like, we're going to need you to get fatter. I'm like, I'm on it. That's my cover.
Take this mission and you're a ghost. The only two people that know about your existence in the field are in this room.
Yeah, and then they get shot with silence pistols like minutes later and I'm completely on my own.
it was worth
it. So it's just from one crew started saying like, or start blazing at 420.
Yeah, they're called the Waldos. And where were they based at, Bean? Northern Cali?
Northern California.
Yeah.
Because
that's really funny. I love that. I never thought about that. It's even tighter than geographical. It's like within one high school, you can have two different like stoner crews.
Yeah.
But like probably now that's still the case. In the late 90s when I was in high school in New York, there was like, stoner crew, and it was like an amorphous group of people, like, so you know, and it was like there weren't like real like potheads that were managing high school,
right.
Like now I know all the potheads I know have like managed their lives the whole time. Like the potheads in high school were like not holding it together, like,
and now I feel like I'm not sure.
I was
sure,
the only thing holding me together in high school.
still is.
My high school was like, pot is like a great way to do that until you can finally get to the thing that numbs the real. Like, there, people were just, they're like, oh, I found pills. Oh, I like, finally.
Yeah,
and those were the potheads.
I get the sense now, and I'm not totally sure, but in high school now, I have a little brother who's like 18, so he was just recently in high school. And I think that everyone's a pothead now in high school. It seems like it's so, like, it's ubiquitous.
We binge drank every Friday and Saturday night for 4 years of high school. Like, if in hindsight, I wish I would have just smoked weed on Fridays and Saturday nights.
But you know what the interesting thing is? Studies have shown that in places where cannabis is legal, kids choose to smoke cannabis often as an alternative to alcohol. So actually alcohol consumption dips when there's cannabis available to young people. And honestly, the thing that hasn't ever fucking killed a single person in human history is probably the safer option those two, you know?
Yeah. No, it's crazy how dirty it used to feel when it was just like, wait, when I do this, I feel even better than when I drink. But everyone is like, not only are they okay with drinking, but it's like, everything is like, people can have their personality equal beer or wine. But like, if you were like that much, nowadays though, you can be like, oh, he's like a pot guy. And oh, Gabrus, you would like this dude. Or like, this is how it always works. Like my wife's friend's husband, she's like, this dude's also a big stoner. So then I go to the party, I'm like, hey, my wife said, do you want to play? Like,
you're the
guy who's going to want to go outside every hour with me. Yeah.
Or they're like, do you know this guy Bill from Milwaukee? He smokes a lot of weed, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we don't all know each other.
Yeah. But then weirdly, sometimes you're like, yeah, I know that motherfucker. Like, that's the funny thing about it.
Every once in a while, you're like, I know that guy
very well. How are his children? But yeah, no, it's true. Like, my girlfriend, like, doesn't smoke that much. She smokes a little bit of weed, but, you know, everyone from California, I guess, smokes like a tiny bit at least. Yeah. But like, in general, in her group of friends, like, most people don't like smoke at my volume. So anytime there's somebody that does smoke weed, she's like, oh, like, have you met Steve? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Whatever. And then inevitably I'm like, yeah, good call. Like, this guy's cool, you know?
And I think that's like, you know, weed changed my trajectory of my life in a lot of different ways. I mean, even before I worked at High Times, and like, it is a selector of people that you meet and interact with in that way.
Oh, totally.
And for me, I can only speak to my own experience, a really fucking good one.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, it's like, it's such a immediate like understanding of another person. You know what I'm saying? That like,
well, there's also, it's like you're forced to have a 5-minute conversation or a 10-minute conversation. You're almost, it's almost like a trust building exercise at like an office. If you were like trying to get your company to like bond, you would just go, all right, you two go over there and just talk to each other for 5 minutes. And that's what a syph is.
That's so
so
true.
Then if you go out with one dude and then also happening to be high and you're a little more enjoying everything that's going on, you're like, oh, I went out and talked to Beanie 5 times over the course of a dinner and we smoked together every time. It's like, we fucking connect. And it's like that's a way, a pure way to connect with people.
Yeah,
it's just
because
on top of the fact that you're already primed because you have one thing in you have this thing in common, and then you're also like set up to just chat and away from other people traditionally.
Yeah,
and it's so just true. It's a group of people who are comfortable with choosing alternatives. A group of people that are comfortable with being subcultured,
right?
Yeah,
which like to me then. I'm just fascinated by pretty much every subculture.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get up and close and personal with all of them.
Right, but I love to hear about them. Yeah, even like the weed crew thing made me want to be like, I want to know everyone's weed vocab. So the tweet for this episode, listeners, respond to this tweet, reply to this tweet with your crew's slang, whatever you think is a slang you've learned that like not other crews are saying.
Oh yeah, that's
hit us
great.
With that because I'm very curious what other people. Because one for me is we say clip set instead of roach. Like
interesting.
If you clip your blunt or clip your J, you're like, yo, bring the clip set. Like,
yeah,
based off dip set.
And what do you call the hole on a bowl?
I call it a carb. Yeah.
Okay, so I also call it a carb. A lot of people would call it a shotgun. Or there's a trigger I've heard as well.
Oh, interesting.
There's a bunch of weird terms for it.
Or just going into the old, like one of the cool things with the show, I swear it's just a thing I would say.
Right. Yeah.
I assume no one's listening anymore. But
that's a pretty safe assumption with this one. Yeah, they're just blasting this in a fucking like insane asylum, like the last legal insane asylum
into
in like Chechnya.
It's Thursday. I know how you guys love Gabrus.
It's the only thing that calms them down.
Yeah.
But like, because we're in all these different eras of history, we're hitting all this we're hitting all this unique site-specific, time-specific slang. Willie Nelson called it, and Maya Angelou both called it boo.
Or Griffa is another one that Maya Angelou called it.
That's awesome.
And, Austin Torpedo. Willie Nelson called the joint that they smoked on the two roofs of the White House the Austin Torpedo. That's a piece. That name is a piece of weed history.
That's
man.
Amazing. Austin Torpedo is definitely should be like your production company name. Yeah. Like at the end of
that's a good
at
call.
The end
actually,
of like, it's like an Austin Torpedo production.
Yeah, that's actually a really good call. Like with a dash in the middle, so it looks like a name of a law firm.
Yeah.
Jesus called it cannabosum.
Yeah, that's right. That's in the Bible.
What?
It's that page that you rip out and roll a joint with. Yeah. If you hold it up to the light.
Let's discuss how many people, no matter where they're from, their race, creed, or color, tried to smoke weed out of a Bible page. Because it's the only thing in a hotel room sometimes, and you don't have a bowl, and someone gave you like a nug on the beach or whatever. Or you're like, this is a book that Mom and Dad never open. So
that's right. They're godless.
And the pages are always like very thin. You feel like you're like, all right, like they're like that light textbook material. You're like, fuck it, this has to work. And you like ball it up real and it looks like a fucking piece of literal trash.
Seriously, man. Yo, can I go pee real quick?
No.
No?
Yeah, of course.
This is an FBI interrogation.
Yeah. You just go outside. There's like 12 guys, and we're gonna continue to talk like this. Like you're not like we the world. We're gonna live with you peeing, but you just go outside, and there's like a guy like Gene Hackman like listening.
the conversation.
Like he's got like a big reel to reel, and he's like nods and gives me the thumbs up. Got him.
Good stream. Solid. It won't last. He'll get older, but for right now.
What was the roof hit?
Ah, wow. You are good, man.
Yeah, yeah. That one I was genuinely curious about because it sounds like something I would enjoy for some reason.
So this is, Obama had all these, rules. He was making policy for the Troom Gang. One was total absorption. You had to hold it in, long enough or you got skipped the next time.
Oh, do you know what we call that in my crew? Me and my Becky's?
Is that Chicago?
No, Long Island. We call it HYH, hold your hit.
Wow.
Oh, HYH. You know, we don't have that much left. HYH. Like, let's get less. And you go.
And then a roof hit is if you're hotboxing a car and the J goes out before you open the door, everybody puts their necks up to the top where the smoke collects and suck it in.
Oh, that's cool as hell.
This man later became the president of the United States. So
how awesome is that?
Don't let anybody.
Yeah, look, yeah. Obama's the perfect. Yeah. Obama's the perfect example of anyone can be president. There's not a better example of anyone can be president right now.
Yeah, seriously. And I mean, like, so also the game, yeah, we used to call it Chicago, the one where you have to hold in the hit.
Oh, is that what you ever? Guys,
yeah, yeah.
We called it HYH, hold your hit. That's like,
oh,
well, yeah,
interesting.
That was a thing.
Yeah. And what did you say it was called? Oh, it was Obama called it total absorption. That's
I like
what
that.
It was. Yeah,
did you guys use the phrase Sife? Like,
yes,
we use Sife.
Sorry, we were all looking down at the one joint that's finished and the next joint that's about to be lit. But yeah, called
like,
it a
there's
Sife.
There's more coming, right?
Yeah. Called it a Sife. Called it a Sesh.
Sesh. Sesh was something I heard later on in life, but I definitely immediately adapted. But we called it, and we called it blazing, but we didn't say getting blazed.
Yeah.
We didn't say blazed as in a noun, but we would use blaze as an adjective.
Trying to blaze?
Yeah, you're trying to blaze. Trying to blaze, want
to
blaze.
Trying
let's
to
blaze,
yeah. Seriously,
that
man.
Was, and it's funny to say now in LA, not everyone says blaze, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Puff, a lot of people say puff.
Puff
I feel
was,
like it's very,
yeah.
You know who was like the masters of weed slang was the jazz musicians the 30s and 40s because I think it went both ways. It's like there's something about jazz that's improvisational, that's similar to like wordplay and like all of this
jam
stuff.
Bandy,
but like how they got to be improvisational was they were like the early weed heads. They're the real. We do a whole episode about Louis Armstrong and his friend, weed dealer, fellow musician, this guy Mez Mezero, who was like. You know, Louis Armstrong grew up in New Orleans, I believe, in like in a brothel and super poor. And this guy, Mez Mezero, was like a middle class, lower middle class Jew from Chicago. They bond over this weed. But this guy, Mez Mezero, wrote a memoir about being the number one weed dealer in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance.
Yeah. That's fucking
he
cool.
stood under this tree. Near where the Apollo Theater is now and sold weed every day and talked jazz with people and was like also a guy you could be like
it's like being a bartender at the White Horse Tavern and talking to author like you're like part of this weird that's such a cool
and
thing.
This guy was selling weed to like legends. He's like a true subculture legend, you know what
right
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mez so Mezro was his last name. Mez becomes slang for high grade weed. And there's and he has all these
name became weed.
The Digger of Diggers, he's called, and he's got all these crazy nicknames. And in the book, there's a glossary of jazz slang that's just incredible. And he talks about the link between like getting high with your crew and like imagine the wordplay and the improv happening among all these. Incredible musical improvisers. Right,
yeah. So
people
this
just
episode,
jamming, like,
yeah, and this episode fills in the gaps on Ken Burns Jazz. I know Ken Burns Jazz is like 20 hours long, but there's a couple gaps in there, right? About some of the weed history that is very, very much a part. I mean, this is like we're talking about, you know, the days right before and during and after immediately, like, you know, like. Prohibition, like the real transition into prohibition, right?
Right.
Weed was fucking everywhere. We're talking about New Orleans here.
Right.
You know what
and
I'm
like,
saying?
The history of the jam session among musicians. So as Mezro says, like there were these cutting competitions where the musicians would get together after hours, but the vibe was like friendly, but I'm going to play the piano and then you're going to play the piano and we're gonna find out who plays the better piano, goddammit.
Yeah.
But then Mezro's.
And if you don't, the devil takes your soul. Yeah.
But then this scene develops wherever Mez Mezro is gonna be after hours, all the real heads he's got the best weed.
All right, so they're all going to go there. And they're blaze, all going to go there. The people there. Who want to blaze are also musicians, so it sets the vibe.
But then the vibe becomes, let's improvise. Let's find the flow together. Oh,
rather than fucking competitive. Rather than playing head-to-head, let's all fucking play on the same team. Or
whatever. Yeah, and it has a huge influence on jazz. You know, it already had a huge influence on jazz in a lot of ways, but that is like...
Yeah.
I hope this doesn't make me sound so white, but you can see that parallel in hip hop too. Sort of did that. I feel like blew up weed slang and brought like people together to record and shit, all based on
was then reappropriated right. to pop music.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot of parallels there, actually, for sure. And actually, that is like one of the things that I cursorily, you know, just started digging around on, or like is. You know, weed rap songs. So also another thing we did this season is me and Bean switched seats for one episode, and then I researched the story and told it to him, and he hung out and reacted. It was really fun. I think we, you know, we'll probably like try it again in subsequent seasons. We just did it once a season. But I was thinking like the history of like I Got Five on it. It was like one of the, you know, like that's a really, especially on the West Coast, it seems like that's like a really huge weed song, and there's a story there. I think I have to dig a little bit deeper, but Bean, maybe, you know, maybe that's a story for the future.
I had heard let I Got Five on it in reference to like chipping in towards a band. And I'd heard that, but then I heard that like we co-opted that for like pizza, you know, like who want to order pizza?
I got five on it.
Did that become a pizza commercial? Because if it's not,
you know, weirdly, I feel like maybe it was like a weird delivery pizza commercial.
And more power to you.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, you know what? Like some brands have sort of, you know, subversively targeted weed. Like, you know, people, Taco Bell used to do it back in the day. Sometimes it's very ham-fisted, but sometimes it was effective.
Taco Bell, the most ham-fisted thing they did was like, what is like the cartoon about stoners is that Doritos and Mountain Dew? It's like, all right, we got Dorito shells and we got Mountain Dew Baja Blast only at Taco Bell. And you're like, hey, thanks. Yeah. I was going to go anyway, but now I'm even more excited.
Yeah, capitalism hates you.
Yeah.
I say that at any opportunity. Yeah. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah. Right. But you know one thing? Back in the day.
Oh, that's what your lower back tattoo says. Now I get it.
You have to look at it in the mirror.
Yeah, it's confusing. I don't know why you got it on your back, but also if, have to look in the mirror.
If Bean had like a
it makes it so
if odd. Bean had a tramp stamp, it would definitely say capitalism hates you. You know what I'm saying? That's in a world where off. That tramp stamp existed, that's what it would say.
Thanks for seeing me.
Yeah, bro. You know, but yeah, man.
What is, now that we're all you know, men and still in the pot game and never out of want for weed because of A, affordability, even B, connections, like what is your like solo sesh move now? Like do you set up a bev? Do you have a spot? Do you have a thing you like to do?
Oh boy.
Because you were mentioning going to the beach at 3 and reading in Santa Cruz, and that sounded fucking beautiful.
See, Bean's ones are like, they're like what Ernest Hemingway's fucking weed things would be. I literally was about to be like, well, I just got a couch and a 65-inch TV, so I sit on it in my underwear and I lay like this at a 45-degree angle. You know what I mean? But Bean's like, I like to wear my ascot. Yeah.
And the joint burned well. Tasted of sandalwood. He put it down for a moment, looked at the waves.
I'm never going to read this book, am I?
I used to really love the joint at the top of a hike, but I don't do that anymore because when I moved to California, it's very dangerous to smoke in parks for most of the year, and it's a fire hazard. So it's like, that's something that I was like, there's always going to be a joint at the peak of a hike for me, and that was really one of my favorite spots in Philly, and you know,
I like
in New York,
in LA,
too.
I like a pre-hike joint now.
Yeah, I do dabs before.
Like, yeah, I need like a 5-minute, like, so I'm not like, I've tried to like start it on the way up, whatever, you know, and then you're like, and you're like getting gassed pretty easily. I like fucking hitting
dabs
it
before. Dabs before.
That's the right move.
Yeah, I'll take a few rips in the parking lot before I go to play basketball, and if you have time to warm up and get a little stretch in, it's amazing. And if you're running late, and you're walking in super high, and 5 seconds later, somebody's hand is in your face.
Yeah. Exasperating.
And they're trying to slap at the thing in your hands. That's, yeah. That's less good.
Yeah, right.
You need that adrenaline.
You have to time that. Yeah, you have to time that pretty well.
I've made that mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say most frequently now I smoke weed at like 3 in the afternoon, standing outside in my driveway, where because the sun hits the driveway, but you can't really see the driveway from the street unless you're driving past. Pop my shirt off. Fucking seriously, and just stand there and just soak up the sun, drink like a green tea.
Oh, that sounds great, actually. Yeah,
I just can't wait to have a yard so I could just lay down and do that like an adult man who owns a home. But
yeah.
I'm almost 40 and I got to smoke in my driveway. Sure, my neighbors, it's just like the fat tan guy with a blunt every day. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. This is gonna be on Star Maps now. Yeah. You gotta watch out. The tour bus is gonna pull
podcast
up.
Freaks are gonna be fucking. I'm on the podcast like, perv tour.
And if you look to your right, you'll see John Gabris.
There he is, tits bouncing in the sun.
Man.
I'm doing great.
But yeah, that's some shit, man. 2001 Space Odyssey.
Great movie.
Fucking great movie.
Weed at the beach is my like my favorite pairing. Smoke weed at the beach and then float in the ocean stoned is just like...
So I have a question. Okay, so it always sounds like a good idea to smoke a joint on the beach, right? But if you ever actually try to do it, in most situations, unless it's perfect conditions, your joint will burn fast and then canoe.
Yes.
Because there's always wind at the beach. So what's your solution for that? Do you just say, okay, I'm wasting that weed. I'm going to take these hits. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, a bowl is kind of like, at least with a joint, like once you get it lit, it can you can hang with it for a minute. So first, I'll use some of my vocab words too. This is a... We call it the kiosk. You put the towel over your head with the joint so you can get it lit perfectly.
The kiosk.
I like the kiosk. Yeah, you can have my job.
Yeah. Thank you. Mission accomplished.
And you mind being next week on Gabris. Me, your host, Abdullah Saeed. Wow. And then, you know, sometimes in entertainment, these things happen. Yeah.
Bravo, team. Take the shot. Yeah, so the kiosk to light it, and then I find with the palm leaf blunt it burns very evenly. That's very hard to canoe. So for the and then I also find that when I smoke out of a palm leaf blunt on the beach, you can't help but feel like you're on vacation.
So you're really big on this palm leaf blunt thing.
Yes.
And you roll them yourself.
I buy the pre-made cones. Yeah. And then I stuff them.
Some
of my favorite shit are these King Palm hand rolled palm leaf.
And what are the benefits?
Makers of the palm leaf blunt cones, he shouldn't have to buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
And then I like these guys a lot too, like these little hemp cones, like flavored or not, but I got a free batch of the blueberry.
You know, I recently had these Tradecraft blunts that it's like pre-rolled blunts in hemp wrap.
Oh yeah, that's
and they were so good. If Tradecraft, you know, hit me on the gram for that plug.
We're talking about three titans of the industry here. Let's get at us.
What we say goes to the lungs of millions.
Yeah. The palm leaf blunts I find like just
that was FDR's famous fireside blaze, right?
Yeah,
that one fireside chat where he lit up.
A correction. Fireside.
Fireside. Now you're going after my job. That was also the one where he got up and walked. That's not too soon.
I was going to say, we're like talking about, I like to blaze at the beach. I like to lay on the couch. I like to read. And FDR is like, I like to get by the fire.
Yeah.
Throw a blanket over
unfeeling
legs.
And a good
legs.
Brandy. And a good volume of Encyclopedia Britannica.
And a direct message to the people of the United States.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I do not need any more. I really.
Oh man, yeah, these are good, man. I'm quite tostino. You know what I'm saying? As they say in the Mediterranean.
It's tostinos.
I think that's Frito Lay that says that.
I'm visiting the island of Tostinos right now. What's your favorite activity to pair with weed? I know, like, at this point in our lives, the three of us probably pair almost all of our activities
with
weed.
Bro, I already told you about the couch and the TV.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Oh, yeah, but because, like, I think also present company, not a lot of people are social smokers, mm-hmm. like would like smoke at a party and be okay.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my friends would be like, oh yeah, I'm down to get high if we're going to like sit at your house and watch TV, but I don't want to get high at this party with you.
No, I like the, I mean, chip and putt. I know Bean also loves chip and putt. We play golf together a lot.
Yeah.
And like that.
That's
really,
like par three. Like the,
the par threes.
All we need is two clubs, three joints and the truth.
So, yeah. Seriously. And it's
that's a good idea for a lower back tattoo. I think it's time to switch it up. I got a laser guy.
That's so good.
Come at promo code Mighty. Use my laser tattoo removal code. It's an online system. You set it up on your computer and look at it with your back, and it fries it for you. I don't know what.
But
the
I need
fuck.
It backwards.
Yeah,
I mean, for you can
mirrors.
Do that.
Yeah, we got a guy.
See it in the
we
mirror.
Can flip it. We can put it on and then like Missy flip it in reverse.
Yeah,
it.
But yeah, that is a great activity.
That's a fun one. Like outdoor. So it's got a lot of classic light activity.
Yes.
Outdoors and like opportunities for bullshitting.
Yeah.
Like,
and yeah, exactly. It's very meditative. Yeah. Like we used to record an episode and then go play nine holes at Whitsitt, formerly known as Weddington Golf and Tennis, but colloquially known as Whitsitt. I never understand that.
They love us there.
Yeah, they love us.
Two stone dudes.
Yeah, we have been
up.
Openly judged by employees of Whitsitt. Like legit for various
for
things.
Simply standing 5 feet from the clubhouse blazing a gigantic
That is, I went to like one of these like private dinner parties where you like pay for your seat and it's like 40 people and like a chef's doing a pop up in like a gallery in Venice or whatever. I did one of those and I was like, oh, let's go out and blaze. And my buddy who's the friend of the friend who blazes at all the that's in this same clique's like, all right, let's go. Shout out to Vincent. I won't use your last name. And then we go out there, we're blazing. And the woman, the hostess, comes out. She goes, hey, guys. And I like look and we're like, 8 feet from like where 40 people are eating, like a garage door is open, and I'm just and we're like, oh my god, we are so. She's like, please, can you just like move over a little bit? I was like, yes.
Oh, but
oh my
I
god.
Love that in California, it's just could you please move over a little bit and not like the police are on their way right now. Right. Yeah, that's
and
great.
Then I love. I'm always the guy that breaks the seal at these kind of things too.
You're like no one. It, like I always smell
I'm always
for
like
it.
That.
I'm like
yeah. Oh, someone else is.
Is someone else
yeah.
Now I can do. It. You're the first. Guy, you're
I'm
the catalyst.
Guy. Everyone's already looking at me because I'm 300 pounds and in a Hawaiian shirt.
Empty.
So I'm
fuck
like,
it.
Just better kick it off.
People love you for it because you're like the first person. I'm not a big dancer, but like that first person that or first two people that hit the dance floor, everyone's like, oh, thank you.
Bold.
Thank you. I couldn't
bold.
Do that.
But now I will join you. Yeah, exactly. You hear that first blaze? Like, or hear the blaze. You guys hear that? You hear the lighter sound?
Ah, sweet relief. Yeah, somebody's smoking weed
now
over there.
I'm high.
yeah. Being high. Dude, you know what's funny? Yeah. There's the,
I was
the sound
what
of smoking
you
weed.
I thought you were going to there's I thought you were going to light the microphone. I was like, then I remembered that we were just talking about the sound. I was like, yo, be
going to go low-key Gilbert Gottfried on you. Or no, Bobcat Goldthwait. Who lit the stage on fire at the Tonight Show?
I think Bobcat Goldthwait.
That sounds like Bobcat.
Legend.
This is Bobcat.
But yeah, it's funny. There's been a few points in my life where I've said out loud, like in, you know, in mixed company, people I don't necessarily know, and say something like, wow, I'm really high, and I've regretted it every single fucking time, right?
The second you say you're high, other people bug out.
Yeah.
Like. But like, I could be high around people and everything's fine, but then if I'm like, I'm so baked, and then someone's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, then it's like their vibe changes, and I'm like, I just don't even want you to just assume.
It gets weird.
The only time I disclose that is sometimes in like a restaurant situation. Where I'm like, I am struggling to decide.
Yeah. I've definitely said to a waiter, I've definitely said to a server, like, hey, I'm really fucking high. Is that too much food? He's like, you're good. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Seriously, man.
I think I love it. I fucking love being openly stoned. Like, yes, I'm smoking weed and I'm high. Fucking relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It feels like it's so a part of my like whole character or like life or like everyday thing. It's like I have to have like a half joint just sticking out of my mouth.
Right.
Like at all fucking times.
That was just, there was like a Tim Leary quote that was basically like cannabis causes paranoia and delusions in the minds of those who've never tried it.
Yeah. It's a really good call.
Yeah, it's true. It's such a manageable way to be. I know I sound like I'm fucking rationalizing to myself or to the society, but it's like, it's such
people in Chechnya as well. Yeah. Need to hear this.
Listen, all my big fans, just take the shock things off their head for a second. What was that? but like, it's such a manageable way to go through life. And like, when you run, like always, like if I have a interaction with someone in a customer service retail or like food job that they're also stoned, like, and they're just like taking one extra second with the money, I'm like so okay with that. And I find that to be like, if we were all just like, it's okay if everything takes 5 seconds longer, yeah, like that's just like such a great way to be. And then like when you run into that vibe in other people, it's like I never scream in traffic if I'm high.
This is what it really comes down to. And I guess I haven't mentioned that capitalism hates you.
But you keep pointing to it in the mirror, so now we know.
We all essentially should kind of be somewhat high all the time.
Yeah.
And we'd be better off. Not everybody. Obviously, people have problems.
There's like
mainly with other substances, but my point.
Yeah, there's like 1 to 3% of people. Yeah,
yeah, that it affects differently.
We're hardwired for cannabis. The whole functioning of your body is based on the endocannabinoid system. So by denying this to humanity, we've created this nightmare asshole world, and then we're all in a sub world that must at the same time navigate asshole world, but create this little hidden protected weed world that has its assholes in it, no fucking doubt, but it's not run on asshole.
And the fucked up thing.
Wait, can I just jump on that? Is like the ultimate heightening of that, whatever, and I don't reach this peak, but I know people who do, is like the Fish jam band world is like the ultimate form of that, where they're inside like a whole nother layer and they're like, everything's gonna be all right for this weekend or whatever. Like, because those people, their vibes of, they're never in asshole world, nowhere near it. Like, they're like,
even Molly more wears off though.
Yeah. That's and then you're just back, right back in asshole world.
I don't wake up fucking lacking dopamine and really fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, it's like
and sleep. If it aids in sleep, and we are now learning so much that sleep is like unreal important for health. Like the fact, like I know some friends of mine who have like light insomnia, and now with 5 milligram like THC CBD blend or 10 milligram THC before bed, can now get a full night's sleep and wake up and feel good and not groggy in the morning. It's like, that's a fucking wonder drug.
It really is, man.
If it did just that, it would be a fucking ubiquitous, you know what
Dianu.
I mean? And it does so much more.
Yeah, it's
what did
true.
You just say?
I slipped it in for the juice. Dianu is, it means that would have been enough. It's
right.
Like, you sing it at Passover, and it's like, you're kind of big up in God, and I'm not religious. You're kind of big up in God, and you're like, hey, you know, if you had just done this one little thing, that would have been enough. But there was also this, and that, of course, would have been, you know.
Now that I realize what you were saying was a Jewish saying, I feel bad that I said, what did you just say? Makes me feel like a fucking fascist leader.
That's going to be edited into something incriminating.
Yeah. I guess I'm never getting SNL, but that was true already.
Seriously, man.
I like to say that weed is not the cure for being an asshole. It's just a good place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is like, I think a central part of the mission.
Being an asshole. It's like, yeah. I like talk to my therapist about it, and he's like, yeah. I mean, if you're managing and your life is okay, like that's fine.
And it's central to like the mission, I think, of like, you know, a lot of both of our work over the years is that, you know, normalizing this shit, not for, you know, obviously for many of the reasons, medical patients, the prison population, enforcement, all that shit. But generally speaking, to get more people in the world to actually get high on a regular basis would probably make the world a better place. And on that premise, Hey, that's why the fuck I've kind of done anything for the past several years is to try to turn asshole world into not into our world.
Right.
But then it's like it it's keeps so getting co-opted and turned back around and used against us again. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you think you're about to get asshole world to be our world, but then suddenly asshole world like is very wily.
Asshole
you know?
World is definitely coming for the industry and has already been there. And, you know, that's a fight that's going to be tough. There's another fight that's for this culture that has always been an outlaw culture, that's always been in a marginalized culture. And I say the word oppressed, you know, in understanding that not all oppressions are equal, but 800,000 people arrested a year. I know tons of people from my more serious journalism side who lose their kids over this shit, who go to jail over this shit, who lose their jobs.
Right.
It's an oppressive system. Yeah. And we created this culture that not only subverted asshole culture and is changing the laws, but that also created this outpouring of art and community and good vibes that I really think can be a model for resistance to authoritarianism in any form. And we did it without either fucking major political party getting behind it. We took on the medical establishment that denied it was medicine. We took on the prison industrial complex, the fucking cops, like some of the hardest, most powerful institutions with no fucking backing. A little bit of a lot of credit goes to Weed for being pretty fucking amazing.
Right. Yeah. It's like
sells itself.
It's like undeniable. And like that's what I'm saying. It's so funny. I was going to say, based on like the two things we were just saying, what you just said and Abdullah saying, like everyone should, I want more people to get stoned. That has become the cliche that like the outsiders use. It's like, oh, they just want everyone to like be high and have like fun and shit. And it's like, even saying that, how do you go like, why do you think that's bad? Why is your reaction? These weirdos like to just get stoned and they all love each other and blah, blah. I choose to not do either of those things. It's like, why wouldn't anyone go, should we start to, I mean, and that's why we see, you chip at the dam of like, the medical industry will never allow this. And it's like, well, it's like undeniable. And if you just, and stoners are persistent, we'll watch the same movie 40 times. Don't threaten us with trying to fucking pass legislation.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of fucking smart people are stoned. And that's the shit you realize as you get older is like when you meet like 45-year-old men, fathers of three who run like fucking businesses and stuff and are like, use the volcano every night. And you're like, hell yeah. Like, it's
I'm glad that's happening. You know, this is a thing though, also. I like to sometimes take a step back. You know, it's so easy to get outraged these days by anything. You know, if you're in Weed, there's things that outrage you if you just read the
that's
news.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. I am furious.
Yeah. But you know what? I think generally speaking, you know, going over all this Weed history, my main takeaway from it is that we're at a better place now for Weed and for a lot of things for social culture than we ever have been before. Obviously, there's a lot of problems and there's a lot of trouble and we're hyper aware of it increasingly more and more every day. But at the bottom of that, look, it's more acceptable to be, you know, who you are in more places in America and in the world now today than it ever has been, because literally most of human history is like a bunch of fascist fucking kingdoms or whatever, you know, and everyone's a serf.
It's objectively better than it was before, but we just know how still bad it still is.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's trending towards better.
I think so. I'm optimistic, and
that's
I've been saying this lately.
I believe the same thing too. I feel like the only thing that's been like an undeniable fight from any side is like anything involving human rights.
Yeah, my instinct
like
tells
like
me that things
about
are getting
human
better.
Human rights
you know?
Always just wins eventually. It's like we're so anti-gay marriage, but it's like, but they're fucking humans and it's their right.
And yeah,
like,
and that's more recognized
now. It's like an unassailable
now,
argument from even Christianity or whatever.
Totally. Yeah. I think things are getting better. I'm optimistic.
Same, same.
I'm feeling positive.
And if
my
that's because of Weed,
that.
That's why we're telling you should fucking get on Weed.
Yeah. Everybody out there who's listening to this, go smoke Weed right now. now.
Right, seriously, if you're a dude who live or a person who lives in a state where it's not legal and you have like 6 to 8 beers after work every night or like 3 glasses of scotch and you feel like you have a little bit of a belly or that you've had diarrhea every day for your 30s, mm-hmm. like try just taking and don't try to be macho. Just take a little hit of weed.
A little. Or eat a tiny edible.
Or a puff or two.
Yeah, a puff or two.
Or
eat a tiny edible. Just have like a 5 milligram edible and just see if that is better for you. If you need that thing at night to help you take the edge off.
Yeah. Maybe no vape pens, though. Yeah. If you're in an illegal state, just do yourself a favor and don't buy any vape cartridges.
Oh, and we should, like, no joke, this should be a PSA. Like, if you're paying $20 for a vape cartridge, be wary.
Minerals.
They're not gonna sell it to you in an illegal state for way less than it costs at a store in the state that it supposedly comes from. You know, I started writing about that like about a month before this. You know, these really terrible incidents came out, and it's like so all the time of all the underground weed, just straight up weed. Before all of this other stuff.
For vaping.
The track record of safety, and of course, not everything's tracked, and you may not know what might have happened to somebody, but it's like we all smoked a shitload of weed for a long time that was grown in basements.
Oh,
and
God, who knows?
Traveled through 100 hands, and you know what? There wasn't anything like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now what you have, capitalism hates you, even outside the official system, is... You have people going online and buying exact replicas of legitimate vape pens that are tested, but what they're getting is the empty version with all the same packaging, and then they're filling it with whatever the fuck.
Whatever trash.
And they're selling it to our people.
Right.
And it really fucking pisses me off. And the people who are doing it are not weed people. Like,
you guys thought minerals were good. You spent your whole life thinking minerals were a good thing. They're bad. They're very bad.
They're very bad to inhale.
Yeah, don't inhale them into your lungs.
Right, bringing them into your lungs and they're not cannabis.
It's fine. But the important thing to take away from this, I think there is a level of evening news hysteria that's like vape pens are bad. Look, I've always said that the reason vape pens are bad, I think, is because they separate people from the product. I've met so many people say, oh, I don't smoke weed. It makes me paranoid. But I hit this vape pen and I'm like, this is like, it's like the iPhone of fucking weed in that it actually separates people from the technology more than it, like, you know what I'm saying? In a sense. So it's like, I've always thought they're a bad thing.
They passively hit it way more and shit.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have the same contact or smell or whatever with it. It's like the fucking. It's the totally
it's processed.
Like. Yeah, it's the processed version
of
it.
We're saying don't eat processed food, but like there's ways to process food. Like pressing vegetables is processing it, but not dangerously.
You a vegetable
presser? It's also like a cold press cannabis is like not going to be problematic. Yeah.
There's definitely the good like stealthy aspects of it, and especially if you live somewhere where you have to hide.
Convenient,
but a big part of the vape thing is that it looks and acts like a consumer product, and that is different from a joint. And a lot of people, weed culture has been super stigmatized.
Right.
People, and it's less and less so, but I'm a little older than you guys and probably way older than some people listening. Like, people used to really fucking look down on you for smoking weed.
Right.
And, like, everything you ever heard about weed culture was a put down. And, like, a lot of people are still afraid that, like, if they try weed, they're going to become that image of the other that they've been taught to fear.
Right.
And then here's this vape pen that was never a part of that and looks like something that you buy.
Yeah, and
capitalism is good.
It's like a sleek looking piece of tech or whatever, which is
like
a thing.
Oh, it lights up. Like, that's how you know it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it vibrates. It's like a little thing. You know, that it's a
gadget.
Fashionable item.
People
love
gear.
People love gear.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, stoners love gear too. We all love, like,
I
like to smoke at a piece and drink out of this cup. And, like, you know, I like that little.
I mean,
I can't smoke without a beverage anymore, though. That's the only thing I've noticed since I've gotten older is, like, the one thing I never fuck with is, like, I always have, like, ice water, seltzer, juice, coffee, something ready to go. I'm never smoking dry, dog.
Yeah. I mean, so it's interesting, like, the vaping in general, right, like, is like the authorities are like, oh my God, all like the nicotine vaping, all that shit is bad. Now, if I'm not mistaken, right, nicotine itself is not a particularly harmful substance, right? It's addictive, sure, right? And this is just, I'm wondering here, and I would like to discuss it with you guys. I think this is a good place to discuss this.
Perfect.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, so the delivery device, okay, so kids are not smoking and inhaling carbon monoxide. You know, aside from any sort of mineral type situation, how bad is it that everyone is vaping instead of smoking cigarettes? Isn't it better that they're vaping nicotine than smoking cigarettes?
I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like there's not been studies about either.
Just like I thought. A great place to discuss this. No one knows.
Well, we're both medical doctors and PhD researchers who've, you know, studying this together and separately for the past 20 years. So I think you did come to the right place.
Yeah, I'm certain of it.
My
yeah.
new paper, Smoke Weed Instead, why take a bunch of garbage into your body when you can just have weed, is available now.
Well, it's funny because I pretty much stopped drinking so frequently and doing most naughty things with the exception of weed, quote unquote naughty, and it was like a healthy choice. Now I felt like so natural because all I was doing was inhaling a burnt plant. And then when it started to be like, well, now all I'm doing is like pushing a button and breathing in something that I bought in a tube that doesn't look anything like the plant. Now all of a sudden it starts to feel like protein powder versus like grass-fed beef. You know what I mean? Where you're like, well, I don't know what kind of, this isn't a tomato off the vine. It's like, you're like, oh, have you ever had a grilled jalapeno? Oh yeah, it's great. Have you ever pressed a jalapeno with butane oil and then breathe in the jalapeno? You're like, wait, what? It's like, no, trust me. It's a fucking, it gets you the jalapeno flavor in your heart faster.
That's why it's good that rosin is like a more preferred technique. Like it's like, you know, basically getting like the, you know, live trichomes and then pressing that shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a way to get amazing cannabis concentrate, like the best fucking cannabis concentrate does not involve solvents.
Yeah, no additives.
Yeah, that's some ancient shit. Pressing a bunch of like fresh ass, like tasty weed and then, you know.
That's like hash, right? Because hash has been around forever.
Yeah.
Back when nobody was trying to stop you, you could really have huge amounts.
So the
story with Jesus is that the holy anointing oil in the Bible is a recipe. It's the only, as Abdullah pointed out, it's the only recipe in the Bible that we know of. There's a matzo ball soup recipe. Two recipes. One of them is for the holy anointing oil that God gives to Moses. And it contains this plant, cannabosum, which is clearly cannabis, but like most people in the biblical scholarship community would say it's calamus, which is ridiculous because it also like cures the blind.
So I wonder.
But there's
if
9 pounds in this holy anointing oil that you absorb through your skin when you're anointed. And I won't get into the whole thing, but do you know what Christ means?
No.
The anointed. Like, that's just how the Choom Gang was called the Choom Gang, because they liked to choom. Jesus was called Christ by his disciples because the anointing was the thing, and it had 9 pounds of cannabosum in it, and it would stop you from being possessed by the devil / having an epileptic fit, and, you know, you can figure out the rest.
Right, so it's just like a massive fucking topical weed dip. He just is like in a fucking full vat of THC lotion, more or less.
Yeah.
Dips his whole fucking body in that. And then all of a sudden is like, guys, I'm seeing fucking, yo.
He had visions,
I got this thing. There's this God guy. He's my dad. Long story, you know? And he's like,
sounds like I'm name dropping.
And then someone's like, dude, I have pounding headaches. I feel sick all the time. It's like, here, how do you feel now? It's like, I feel fucking amazing. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm smothering you in weed. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Maybe I will not be an atheist anymore.
I mean, the nuts thing
Wait
is
a
that
minute,
like
man. Maybe Christ did have good ideas.
The religion has been like so politicized at this point that it's completely just kind of
like
ignored this shit. Like the thing is, like over maybe 80 years ago, like, there was not all this dispute about this shit, because, like, all this, you know, bullshit belief about cannabis being poisonous or, you know, terrible thing are only, like, less than a century old. So at some point, this was probably just accepted and overlooked that, fuck yeah, he was dipped in weed.
Well, there were a whole lot of gospels. There were a lot of accounts of Jesus's life, including some that were more contemporaneous than the, you know, John, Paul, George, and Ringo that we have now.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Maybe. I'm remembering my catechism.
But these were all suppressed, and the ones that were suppressed were the ones that talked about the anointing and how important it was and how it was the central thing. And we only really know about them because people in, like, 300 AD hid a box set of them in a cave and somebody dug it up like 100 years ago. So it's like weed history has been repressed and suppressed and erased forever. And,
weird.
You know, we're having a lot of fun bringing it back, but it also does feel like a pretty, you know, important thing to do.
Yeah, it's it is like something you wouldn't necessarily like. If it makes everything better, and if you like, why would you fight that in any way other than it's better if the masses are worked up, from someone of power's point of view?
Yeah, now,
I know this sounds like tinfoil hatty, but it feels like, oh, if everyone is stoned all the time legally, they're going to be fucking...
Yeah, and know, once they are, we'll launch great moments in psychedelics history.
Yeah.
And we'll start this process over again for psychedelics.
We'll find the even less asshole world tighter. The tighter asshole world.
And a tighter asshole world.
I think that's already a podcast.
It's totally, it's Dan
it's like
Savage.
The Fox News podcast. Does Fox News have podcasts?
I'm sure. Oh, no. Who would listen to it?
Yeah, because everyone who's like 65 plus doesn't listen to podcasts.
Right?
And
that's
shit.
What I'm assuming.
Do they come out of the toaster?
I listen to Rush Limbaugh on my fridge.
This is a plug, but if you listen to the Obama episode of our show, you can hear a nice snippet of me yelling at Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Bean was on Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson said the name of our show.
Oh,
I was like, I will come on your show, but you have to introduce me as the co-host of Great Moments in Weed History. And then, of course, we have the soundbite of him saying that.
Yeah.
Worth it.
No, it was great.
It's a perfect time to let's start plugs. Let's wrap this shit up.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Great Moments in Weed History, season 2, out right now. You can find us on Spotify, on Stitcher, on iTunes, on iSpoons,
wherever you
and
get
Twitcher,
wherever you
and
get potties.
Yeah, all those things.
Where you
and,
get your potties, baby.
Where you get your potties, and it's out now. And also, High and Mighty, Gabers' show.
Yeah, check that out.
Let's check that show out. You might like it.
You know?
Yeah.
Coming back.
We're hosting it from now on.
Oh, right.
My new show,
Rotation Jam.
You did say, oh, where can I stay when you came up?
Yeah, I rolled up with my suitcase and a bag. Like,
where can I unpack? Where are you guys on social media if people want to tweet at us their weed slang? We want, you can read. Reply to this, but shout out anything else.
Yeah, so GMIWH podcast, Great Moments of Weed History podcast, on like every platform, basically on Patreon, on Twitter, Instagram, the whole nine yards. Season 2 kicks ass. Oh, and you can find us individually. Beans is Pot Properly, I think, on Instagram. I'm Your Kid on everything. But honestly, who fucking cares about social media? You know what?
You don't have
to follow me. Forget it. You know, like, just follow the podcast.
If you like the podcast, when you smoke weed with people, tell them about it, and we'll be forever grateful.
Yes. That's the more important thing, is that if you are a weed person or any person and you listen to our show and you like it, share with somebody else who would like it, and we'll appreciate you forever. And yeah, holler at us if you want to also.
Hell yeah. Reply to the tweet about this episode with your weed slang. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys. It's a Patreon. I think you would dig it. Thanks for listening, shitheads. Bye.
I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.